Welcome and thank you for tuning in to the Graceland Church Podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
Good morning, Graceland Church. How you guys doing? It's taking me a little longer to transition. Jessica, thank you for singing that lovely song. Nick and Jackie, thank you guys. They humor me and allow me to play a little bit. We're in a new series called Worry and Peace. And actually, before I start, I want to say one thing that's kind of special. It's been 2 years now, today, since Graceland Church voted on a merger between a church plant and the existing church members. I became the new senior pastor here. The former pastor became the pastor emeritus. That was 2 years ago today. So it's a great celebration. We're thankful for what God has done. Pastor Duncan was here in our first service, shared some very special words, and it was lovely. I also want to mention, we did it last week, but she wasn't here. Whitney Cantrell, if you could wave at everybody right now, this is Whitney, and this is her husband, Michael, their lovely family. She is stepping in as our brand new early childhood director. We're super excited about that. Give her a hand. Come on. That was lame applause. Thank you. All the early childhood ministry will be in our kids' wing over here. We're so excited to get the back in use. The elementary kids will be out in the tent. If you're joining us online, we welcome you guys. There's probably more online than usual with the torrential downpour monsoon that we're in right now. Thank you guys for being here in person. What an honor. As we've started this series, I have a new phrase that I'm using in my own life called Interrupters of Peace. And we're just going to abbreviate that as IOPs. An interrupter of peace, or an IOP, is something that when you might be feeling great, you might be walking in peace, having a great day, but then there is an interrupter of the peace. An IOP comes your way like a bomb and takes your peace away. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yes, we all have IOPs. I remember once Jess and I, years ago, were getting ready to drive across country to move from Pennsylvania to Los Angeles. Team of young adults with us. Novi, our 11-year-old, was 5 months old. So much work goes into this. 5 vehicles, big truck full of stuff, lots of fears, lots of craziness. We got on the road. Yes, we're driving. I was having my Tom Cruise moment, free falling, outgoing. That was a joke. Anybody remember Tom Cruise free falling in the car scene, screaming? Tom Cruise sang it. It was Tom Petty's song. We're both right, honey. See, that's marriage counseling right there. You're actually both right. We're going an hour into the drive. Devastating reality. We forgot to sign the paper to allow the moving company to pick up the truck that was still at my parents' house. By the way, my mom is here visiting today. Mom, can you wave at everybody? Mimi Dawn, as known by my children. Terrible realization. We're already an hour into the trip. We had put everything we could into getting out on time. Lo and behold, we had to turn around and backtrack on the beginning of our 5-day journey. The last thing you want to do at the beginning of a 5-day journey is turn around after driving for an hour. But we did it. It was an interrupter of peace. We got over it. But you have to work through things like that. And of course, we know sometimes there are much more serious IOPs. This year, we've all had to manage all the conflicting information and advice about coronavirus. That's exhausting. It can be an IOP. We've had record numbers of people losing jobs. That's very serious. We've had racial tensions. We're seeking for more justice in our nation. That's very serious. In the middle of it, we all have regular life. We're still getting married. We're still having kids. There are still those that are aging that need care. Dogs need to be walked. Kids need to get projects done for school. Some while doing 7 hours of virtual school a day, back in person, not back in person. We're all over the map. How do we walk in peace in seasons like this? Harrison Ford, who probably you most know, one of the most successful actors in this generation. He was in Star Wars as Han Solo. He was Indiana Jones. He was Jack Ryan. Ultimate success by the standards of the world. But he said this in GQ magazine in an interview. You only want what you ain't got. And what I ain't got is peace. That only comes with death. If I die and I ain't peaceful, then I'm really going to be angry. That's kind of equally funny and sad because that's sometimes how we feel. How in the world do we access actual peace before death? We're going to do an exercise real quick. Close your eyes with me if you're okay with it. Imagine for yourself what comes to mind when you think of peace. because we usually all have different things. Think about it for yourself. It could be a world without COVID, no face masks, no virus fears anymore. If you're a parent with young kids, we've got a good amount of you guys here today. You might picture a quiet house, all the kids at school, and a hot bubble bath. Some of you might picture a full night of sleep with no calls or texting with a problem. You might imagine your internet working perfectly for an entire day. Of course, some of us, and you can open your eyes, we imagine all kinds of if-onlys that we think are going to bring us peace. If we only had that $1 million, if we only had that big vacation, if we only had that secure job, that wife, that husband, if we only had things feeling settled, whatever it may be, we have if-onlys that we think will lead us to happiness and peace. But the reality is, it is never external circumstances that lead to actual peace. We know there's a lot of people seeking peace in our culture in unhealthy ways. We have one of the most addicted societies in the history of mankind to all kinds of bottles and pills. We have people seeking out very strange religions and practices. We have people looking for peace in very unhealthy relationships. Some think it's going to be money. But the promise we're going to look at today from the scripture is going to help us understand what peace actually is and how God gives it to us as a promise and how we're meant to walk in it. And actually, my wife, I just found out this morning, we were coming in early together, she told me that this verse is what gave her peace when we were first dating and she was dealing with anxiety over me. I was like, what? I thought when we were dating, you were just like in glory, like, oh my gosh, my future husband. She said, no, on her first visit to my parents' house, it happened pretty quick, so we didn't really know each other that well, which is probably why she was feeling a little anxious. She was staying there. I had a house in the area too, up in Pennsylvania. And she said that's when this promise from God became a reality in her life because it helped her walk through our early dating years with our early dating months with peace. So keep that in the back of your mind. The context of the verse is this. Give me your attention for a second. Paul wrote this, the Apostle Paul, to a church in a city called Philippi. That's why the book is called Philippians. When he wrote this book, he was in jail. He had no hope of release. He was suffering and he was in a cold, dark dungeon, stone floor, not knowing when it would end. On top of that, the people he was writing to, the people that lived in Philippi, the Christians, they had a lot to worry about. Paul, one of their leaders, was in prison. They all were facing persecution, pressure, poverty. Other believers were also in jail, and there were a lot of things going on to worry about. And right in the middle of that, God gives us this command in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. So number one in our notes is simple, quit worrying. Just quit worrying. Easier said than done. When I was a kid, even like 5, 6 years old, I remember when I would get frustrated about things, my mom and my dad taught me this phrase. They said, Nathan, stop catastrophizing. You guys know the phrase, catastrophizing? They say, it's gonna be okay, Nathan. Of course, we bring that into adulthood. Listen to the definition of catastrophizing. It is assuming that the worst will happen. What a horrible way to live. It often involves believing you're in a worse situation than you actually are, or that all the difficulties are actually worse than you are really facing. Catastrophizing is the opposite of peace. Number two in the notes, peace is the absence of worry, concern, and anxiety. Catastrophizing is making the worry and concern central and assuming the worst. It is so important to note that this command is given in the middle of situations that could easily be worried about. Again, he was in prison. Imagine he's thinking, what if I die in jail? Will all the people that I love, the young church in Philippi, will it survive? Paul, will I be forgotten? Will I be tortured? It's a natural place to worry. And in that light, we're going to do a little exercise. I'm going to need some participation. I'm going to write on the top of this board, things I am worried about. Pardon my handwriting. Things I am worried about. So I'm actually going to ask for you guys, with short one-word answers, to give me some things worried about. I'll start us off with money. So money is certainly a thing that all of us at some point or another have worry about. And don't worry, this isn't like a confession. Whatever you say doesn't mean you're struggling with it. Let's just assume you're talking about whoever you're sitting next to. So just yeah, that was a joke too. Yell out some things that we can worry about. One word, go ahead. Health, school, those are great. marriage. Can all the married people say amen? What? Children. That's government. Friends. Oop. Government. Friends. Give me some more. What? Cars crashing. That's a really good one. What? Help me interpret. Graveyards. Oh, wow. Okay. This just got existential. Storms. Any more? Fires. Tornadoes. Lava. Yes. Normally that would be far-fetched, but watch the news about California right now. All kinds of things going on, all kinds of things that we can worry about. How are we going to afford college tuition? How am I going to manage to survive financially? How are my children going to do? How are my grandkids going to do? What is health going to look like? God, right in the middle of the reality of worries, he says, do not be anxious. One of the reasons for that is, number three in the notes, worry does not work. Think about it. When you're done worrying, what has been accomplished? Worry does not decrease debt. Worry does not resolve relational conflict. Worry does not heal your body. In fact, it makes you worse. Worry doesn't elect the right person into office. Worry is not a vaccine. Number four, you'll never worry your way into a solution, ever. Instead, scripture tells us this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I want to hone in on where it says, but in every situation, by prayer. Number five, every situation by prayer means every situation by prayer. God is making a connection between our prayerfulness about anything we're facing and the ability to let go of that anxiety. Sometimes the things we're anxious about are our own faults. Even then, approach it by prayer. Sometimes what we're anxious about, we're completely out of control of. Even then, approach it by prayer. Get it into your head, every situation by prayer. And then it says, actually present your requests. So this might be the most powerful part of this sermon right here. God is actually telling us to make the list. Go ahead and write down all the things you're worried about, but change the title of the list from things I am worried about to things God can handle. Scripture is actually telling us, we are commanded right here, present your requests. Make the list. Sometimes we think not being anxious is not thinking of all these things. Quite the contrary. Take time to think about them, write them down, but don't call them things that you're worried about. Call them things that God can handle, and you begin to approach it by faith, and then if you read on the text, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. It seems crazy. How often when you're in the middle of deep anxiety do you want to just give thanks? Right before this promise in the book of Philippians, chapter 6, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So there's something about making the list, changing the name to things God can handle, and then when you pray through the list, do it with thanksgiving in your heart. So all of a sudden, if you're praying about money, I just don't know what the next year is going to look like. I don't know what the next 10 years are going to look like, but then say, Lord, I'm grateful that you've given me what I have. I'm grateful you've provided for me so far. I'm grateful you've given me some income. I don't know what to do right now, but I'm grateful you're going to provide something for me. Help. That's a lot different than a super sad, doomsday, depressing prayer where you're just speaking negative meditation to yourself about money. You see the difference? So you change the title of your list and then you approach the prayer with thanksgiving. Karl Barth, who's an author, said this, to begin by praising God for the fact that in this situation, as it is, meaning the situation has not changed, he is so mightily God, such a beginning is the end of anxiety. Because you're starting by saying, God, I praise you right now as it is. Then that starts to change your anxiety. To be anxious means that we ourselves suffer, ourselves groan, ourselves seek to see ahead. But thanksgiving means giving God the glory in everything, making room for him, casting our care on him, letting it be his care. The troubles that exercise us then cease to be hidden and bottled up. They are, so to speak, laid open to God, spread out before him. Then we get to the promise. When we've done this, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that is what Jessica told me she was holding to as a promise, because basically we were dating, it was moving quick, and she was like, wait a second, I'm not gonna be anxious. God will give me wisdom. God's peace will help me in this. And so it became a promise that she held to, and it's one of our core life verses to this day. I just never knew that I was the anxiety in her life until this morning. Some of the context here is awesome too, by the way. This is the only place in the whole New Testament where we find the phrase, the peace of God. Almost always when peace is talked about in the New Testament, it's referring to the conflict that sin creates between us and God. Paul uses that language a lot, but this spot is different. God's peace, the calm serenity that flows out of the very nature of God, comes down upon you. So thanksgiving-filled, prayer-giving followers of Christ experience the essence of God being with them. It is his peace, the very nature of the living God. When you are with him, that peace becomes the center of your life. Now, the worry and the anxiety gets dethroned, and you put Christ, the one you are actually trusting, on the throne. I think anxiety and worry, when we really live in that lifestyle, it's sin. It makes us miss the target that God has for us. And we're almost like worshiping it. We have a lifestyle of it. God says you must remove that and put him back in the center place. And it says it transcends this peace, all understanding, which number 7 in your notes, peace that transcends all understanding is not natural. It is supernatural. I love this. This peace is a miracle. It's not the kind of peace where you're like, oh, everything is going great, so I feel great. Thank God I'm at peace. No. It's the kind of peace that cannot be thwarted by any circumstance. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to feel awesome about it. You still want to change the circumstance, but you can no longer allow all the external things to have power over you because you have the miracle of peace in your heart. I was once spending some time with an older church planter when I was a young church planter. He had me by about 30 years. It's not that common for someone around 60 to plant a church, but this gentleman was doing that. And he was pouring into my life. He was just loving on me. I was struggling, young church planter, trying to figure out money, trying to build a team. This was out in Los Angeles. And he just loved me so very well. And then after our meeting, I came to find out that this guy, currently in his life at that time, had a wife who was suffering severely physically and going through a very difficult time. He had 2 grown kids who were very much suffering in their life, running from the things of God. And I found out he had extreme hardship in multiple areas of his life that I had no idea about. And when I was with him, he demonstrated the miracle of peace. We didn't even talk about his life. He just blessed me and poured into my life. And when I found out later what he was actually going through, I was struck at how well he was living out 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's a miracle for someone to be in the middle of multiple crises in their own life and still be able to pour the peace of God into you. That is a miracle. I love this story about a grandma who put... She had her first plane flight. She had never been very confident about the experience, about leaving the ground in this big metal contraption. And when they met her at the airport on her return, one of the family members kidded by asking her, "Did the plane hold you up okay?" And she grudgingly replied, "Yes," and then quickly added, "But I never did put my full weight down on it." I think a lot of times we're like that as Christians. We're not actually releasing the full weight to the Lord. Number 8. Prayer transfers the weight of your worries from you to God. I have noticed in my life that when I'm not sensing that miracle of peace, there might not even be something actually going on that I'm stressed out about. I'm just not sensing that miracle of peace. I can always trace it to one of 3 things. I have not been prayerful. I have not been filled with thanksgiving. Or I have not been living in that lifestyle of repentance. And what I mean by that is, I believe that we as Christians are meant to just live in a lifestyle of constantly returning back to the Lord, because we get assaulted by all kinds of things throughout the day, including our own thoughts, and we make mistakes. So we must then return to the Lord, repent, constantly celebrate repentance. But when I haven't been prayerful, I haven't been grateful, and I'm not in a lifestyle of repentance, I start losing that peace. Anybody with me? I start losing the miracle. And I just want to encourage you, for some of you, you might just need to be reminded of the title of this message, Every Situation by Prayer. Get it in your head for a second. What are you worried about? What's keeping you up? Maybe even what are the small things that produce that low-level anxiety in you? You know those seasons where you just live with a low level of anxiety all day, and then all week, and then all month, and then all year? It's physically not even good for you. What are those things? And just choose, I'm going to approach that situation by prayer. By prayer. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep fighting to do that. That is daily work, especially for the really tough stuff. Every day, rather than wake up and feel like molasses pouring over you, all the anxiety, get up and say, I'm going to do the work. I'm going to release this to you, God. I'm going to write the list, but I'm going to say, you can handle this, God. If my heart's not where it needs to be, lifestyle of repentance, God, I want to return to you. And God, I want to give you thanks for everything that you've done. I'm going to ask the team to come up. My sweet daughter, Nessa, right here. She just turned 5 years old yesterday. Happy birthday, Nessa. She's been looking forward to that birthday for a long, long time. Both of her sisters and her little brother all have their birthdays before her in the year. So she has to watch all of them get all their presents and have all the celebrations. So almost every night for like 60 days, she's been like, is it almost my birthday? Is it almost my birthday? How many days now? 49. How many days now? You know, yesterday was her birthday. We love you, sweetie. And one of the things that I've been so proud about with Nessa over the last year or so is sometimes when she has to do her chores, which we all have chores in the family, of course, they can sometimes make you worried, and sometimes you don't want to do them. And sometimes if you're a kid, they might even make you cry, they might even make you run and hide. But recently, Nessa, for the past year or so, every once in a while, she'll just get a vision for doing those chores, but not just doing them, going above and beyond, and just loving it. And the sisters are like, Nessa, you're doing great. Look at how well you're setting the table and cleaning up all the dishes. And we give her jobs that are kind of hard. We have to even help her, like, put the dishes away or figure things out. She gets all kinds of praise from us when she does it. And you know what I've noticed? When she's doing that and she's grateful about it and she's in communication with her parents and she's not getting anxious about it, she is walking in so much peace and joy. She is loving life when she is getting all of that done. She's like almost on a high. It's amazing. But the opposite is also true. If she's ever resistant to it and she's saying, no, I don't want to do it. Or sometimes we can complain about the things in our life or what we have to do. And she runs and hides. Then not only is there not peace, but everything makes you angry. You're upset at your siblings. You're upset at your coworkers. You're upset at your family. Nothing is working right. You guys know what I'm talking about. This is the same in our lives. And sometimes what we're trying to approach, all these things that we can worry about, including lava, they can sometimes cause worry. They can sometimes cause anxiety. But God says, wait a second, you can approach this. Just like we would say as parents about chores. You can approach this. I'll walk with you through this. You can do it. I can help you figure this out. You transfer the weight. Someone's walking with you. You live in a lifestyle of repentance. You return instead of run. You start to give thanks because you start to actually see things work. Some things can come together. You realize, oh, I can actually live in the light of this. And before you know it, you're walking in the miracle of peace. And you're walking in the miracle of gratitude. Are you guys tracking with me? That's my prayer for you. No one answered me. Are you guys tracking with me? This is important. And it's not only important for you, it's important for your loved ones. One of the greatest things I can give to my wife is to be at peace. One of the greatest things she can give to me is to be at peace. Perhaps the greatest thing we can give to our kids is to be at peace. Same for all of us. And then more than that, the call of God on our church, it doesn't work if we're not walking in the miracle of peace, because we can't give what we don't have. And there are people right now suffering and hurting all around us, neighbors, friends, coworkers, everyone, going through horrendous things. Some of you guys are going through horrendous things, but God says, even in the midst of it, I will give you a supernatural peace, and he will call us then to share that peace with others. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this simple chorus again. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. As we do it, let's lift up all the worries. Let's lift up all the anxiety, transfer the weight from our shoulder to him, and approach every single one of these situations by prayer. Let's sing Jesus. As we just stay in an attitude of prayer for just a couple more moments, Lord, I pray for each person, whatever it is that we're carrying, whatever it is that bogs us down, that little bit of weight that we're not releasing to you, help us to just add it to the list of prayers and petitions, requests that we bring to you. We bring them with gratitude. We bring them with praise ahead of time. We give you thanks that you will be our provision. You will meet us even in these situations that can be so difficult. And God, I pray for the supernatural miracle of peace for every heart in this room, for every soul, God. I pray that they would make a decision. I no longer want to be consumed with anxiety. I want to walk every day in peace. God, help them to do the daily work, the daily every situation by prayer, the daily choosing gratitude, and the daily choosing to live in a lifestyle of repentance. And if it is a sin thing for anyone here, if they know that thing coming up to their heart or mind right now, it's just a sin. It's just something where we're being disobedient, and that can cause so much of a break in peace. Lord, may they repent of it now and just say, I want to lay it down. I want to leave it here at the altar, and I want to return to life. God, help me to walk in holiness. Help me to walk in the way that works. Help me to have the flourishing life you created me for. I don't want to settle for less. Lead us in your ways of righteousness. Give us a vision for righteousness, God, flourishing. Pray your blessing on every kid, every family. Amazing to have all these kids in here, God. We celebrate these kids. We pray for, as we relaunch Graceland Kids in a couple weeks, God, we pray that our kids would know you young, Lord, that in the middle of all the messages they're getting from this world, I pray they would hear your voice. I pray they'd be filled with your word, God. Help us to raise kids in the way of Jesus. Help us, God. We pray for all the different things launching here. Celebrate recovery. May we be a church where hard cases that seem impossible can find freedom, actual transformation. We pray for families to be transformed, God. People that are addicted and hopeless right now, we pray for them to find life, for them to be born of your spirit. All these things, the Graceland youth, God, we pray for our students, our middle schoolers, our high schoolers. It's a challenging season of life. There's so much going on that is out of your control, but I pray that they would hone in on you, God, your word, your voice, Lord, and they would get a vision from you about their life. Not a vision from what the world says, but a vision from you about their life, from your word, from your very heart, their creator. For our seniors, God, this has been such a season for so many of increased isolation for our seniors. We pray your blessing on them, even those that are watching right now. I know we have a few that are even in hospice care right now. We pray they would sense our love, sense your presence wherever they're sitting right now and watching. We pray for healing in people's bodies. We pray that our seniors would continue to have a vision that they're still breathing and you still have a purpose for their life. You still have a plan. You still want to use them. You still want them to be walking in your peace and bringing peace to others. And we thank you for all these things. It's such a joy to be a part of your body. And lastly, I pray for peace in the families. So many moving parts, challenges in marriages, challenges with kids or grandkids, things going on. May your peace, even in the middle of chaos, may your peace rest in our homes. May your peace rest in our vehicles, and may it start in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. I'm gonna pray this benediction over you guys and we'll be dismissed. Let us go with Jesus, the light who guides us on our way. May our hope be that the Son of Justice will rise on all humankind. May the God of peace, our constant companion, lead us along paths of hope and give us the joy of being united in God's love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love you guys. Have a great afternoon.